Well, just 3 points separate the top three in the Premier League as we head into the busy Christmas period. Arsenal are the only one of those three clubs on the road this weekend, with Mikel Arteta's side heading to his former club, Everton. Manchester City play host to relegation-threatened West Ham, while Aston Villa are at home to Manchester United. We've got it all covered on The Assist. Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football backers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week joining me are both James Milton and Dan Charles to look ahead to the weekend's Premier League and EFL fixtures. And don't forget, of course, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on anything football related and the show, of course, as well via the Racing Post YouTube channel. Let's get straight into it then with the Premier League match week 17. And as ever, we'll go in order of priority in terms of the size of matches this weekend. And we start off with the Saturday evening 8 o'clock kickoff at the Hill Dickinson Stadium as Everton play host to Arsenal. We'll get the latest prices for you in a moment or so's time. But James, we'll start with you first. Arsenal, without wanting to mention the word wobble at the moment, which I feel is a little bit unfair, there's maybe a few sort of gremlins appearing as we head into this important festive period.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like the choking chat kind of started before the end of September for Arsenal, which always felt a little bit early. Yeah, every team has a bit of a flat spot, and Arsenal's injuries have been a real issue recently. They had just about been coping with them, but yeah, certainly a few concerns, and this looks a tricky test this weekend.
Does what have you made of Arsenal the last few weeks, Dan, in terms of, you know, where they're at currently? I mean, I'm assuming if you'd have said to Mikel Arteta at the start of the season you'd have this advantage now, he'd have probably snapped your hand off.
Yeah, they are. I think they're going, I mean, it pains me to say it, but as a Spurs fan, I think they're still going pretty well. They've had some tough away games, you know, Sunderland away, it's just, you know, they've not lost a home game yet this season. The Chelsea away was always going to be a tricky one, and I just thought the Wolves game, it was one of them where almost everyone in the stadium is expecting it to be really easy. And I actually didn't see a second. I watched the first half, but I'm not surprised by how it kind of ended, because you can see that they weren't really at it. And when you start a game not right, it's not always easy to just pick it up. And I mean, the positive for them was Saliba was back. They got the result at the end. I mean, that is sometimes you're not always going to play at your best, but they got the win, still in a great position at the top of the table. And yeah, for me, I mean, you know, I'd say it, but my glass, if I was an Arsenal fan, which I'm clearly not, would be half full rather than half empty.
Yeah, still a long way to go, of course, between now and May. But this is going to be certainly another test of Arsenal's title credentials, because Everton's home form has been decent, probably better than people would have expected, having moved on from Goodison Park. Everton 9-2 to claim the win on Saturday. It's 8-13 Arsenal, and the draw is 3-1. Everton are a difficult team to work out, though, Mills, at the moment. You know, they have one really good performance, and then off the back of that, they seem to fall flat a little bit. And it's difficult to kind of work out where they're at.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're going to have some significant absentees this weekend. You know, Ndiaye and Gueye have gone to the Africa Cup of Nations, which will be a theme of this show with the team news there, and a few issues over Dewsbury Hall and Grealish as well. But having said that, you know, you mentioned their home form, and they have settled into their new home pretty well. Two defeats, 3-0 against Tottenham, which the XG suggests that was a very very flattering scoreline for Spurs. And then they were well beaten by Newcastle, but that came just after that famous victory at Old Trafford, where they played virtually the whole game with 10 men. So I'm inclined at the prices to oppose Arsenal here. I think Everton or draw double chances is decent. You know, they've won 4 of their last 6-0 in the league. And Arsenal, you know, I don't think they've played badly in those tough away games that Dan was mentioning. You know, they were decent at Sunderland, bit unlucky at Aston Villa. You know, the Chelsea game was a tough derby, and disappointing that they couldn't take 3 points against 10 men. But they have kind of lacked fluency away from home all season. Only scored 10 goals in 8 league games away from home. And I think if you're wanting to be backing them at around 8-13, I think you'd be a bit concerned by that attacking output.
Everton have, I suppose, a lot to answer in terms of January at the moment, Dan, because David Moyes has kind of dropped the odd comment recently saying if they want to get into Europe, he's going to need backing in the transfer market because the squad at the moment hasn't got the depth that you would maybe want in terms of like a top six finish.
That is it for me. I think the squad is light. I always think, I think when they get their strongest 11 out on the pitch, they're a very competitive side, as they've shown. When you make a few changes, you go back to the, even as far as the, in the League Cup, when they had the tight Wolves, made a few changes, not tons, just made a few changes and then lost the game 2-0. I mean, you look at how Wolves have been in the Premier League and that doesn't read too well. You know, I think if, even if Grealish makes it, you take in those three starters out the side, Drissigay and Jai and Dewsbury Hall, who's been one of their best players over the last month. I think you could argue that they're going to be as weak as they've been probably for a Premier League fixture. And when you're playing the leaders, even though they've not been in scintillating form lately, to me that is that's a concern. And I think Arsenal, like I said, I think they just needed to win that game. I think they've had their kind of reset, if you like. I think they'll be at it in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised against the weakened Everton if they suddenly go and win comfortably. So, you know, while the Arsenal to win price might be a bit short for some, like I said, I can see them more likely to win by more than one goal than not win at all. So I'm going to actually back a minus one on the Asian handicap, a shade of odds against. So if Arsenal win by more than one, you win. If they win by a single goal, you get your stakes returned.
So it's Arsenal on the handicap for Dan. Milt, what was your best bet for this game?
Yeah, I'm more pessimistic. I'm going Everton or draw double chance. So we've not helped you out there, but hopefully we'll be more agreement later in the show.
So that's the first game of the Premier League week ticked off. Then we're going to head to St James's Park next for Saturday's early kickoff. It's a 12:30 start at St James's Park for Newcastle against Chelsea. Newcastle 7-4, Chelsea around about 29-20, and the draw 13-5. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. And all I've got to say is good luck, because these two teams are not easy to judge at the moment. I mean, you look at Newcastle's performance against Sunderland, which they were absolutely, I'm sure the fans, you know, fuming with, to be honest, because it was nowhere near where you'd expect them. They then bounce back in the EFL Cup. We've seen Chelsea yo-yo from one performance to another. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I mean, it will certainly give them a mental boost to get the late winner against Fulham after, because let's be honest, the manner of that defeat at Sunderland, given how big the game is up there, is a blow, not just for the players, but for the fans as well, which I think is important to mention, because Newcastle's home form is often, I think, heavily related to the way that their support gets behind them, and it's reliant on the atmosphere being really, you know, really good. So I'm still not so sure the fans are going to be, the club in the league are in a bit of a, they're performing quite a bit below expectations at the moment, still in the bottom half. Chelsea are a team, I've said before, I've never saw them as title challengers, but they are capable of raising their games. A lot of the time they do it for big matches. The Spurs away game is a massive game for them. They were superb in that game. Played very well at Arsenal, against Arsenal, considering they were down to 10 men for such a long period. They've got Caicedo back from the ban that he received, you know, from his red card in that game. I think Caicedo has been a big miss for them the last few games. I think him coming back into the side improves the intensity, and he's a big player to have in a game at Newcastle when you want the athleticism and physicality in that midfield. So Newcastle, while they've had the boost to that win, it's going to take them quite a bit out of the legs as well. You know, they didn't make too many changes. So I think Chelsea, with a free week, and like I said, their kind of ability to do it in the big games, I think they're the more likely winners. So that leads into my tip. I'm going to go Chelsea, draw no bet.
Milts, I think this is obviously a big test for a young player like Voltimada after what happened to him last week. This is going to really show what he's made of, I suppose, going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think Newcastle fans are going to hold it against him. He's made a pretty solid start to his life in England. But having said that, I do think this is a really tough game for Newcastle. I like the look of the draw in this one. You know, we've mentioned Newcastle's strong home record. They're not blowing teams away, you know, even against kind of Burnley and Wolves. They've won by single goal margins. Needed a late winner, obviously, against Fulham in the League Cup. And it was this similar story against Fulham in the league earlier this season. I could have done without that goal in the League Cup, actually, because I had a little nibble on Eddie Howe in the sack race market. So I was hoping for a bit more doom and gloom at St James's. Just think, you know, the league form has been so, so poor. And, you know, that lack of character they've shown away from home. And, I'm not in a rush to back Newcastle this weekend. Just, you know, looking at Chelsea's record, 16 games into the season, 8 wins, 4 draws, 4 defeats. I think that is a pretty fair illustration of where they're at the moment. And, you know, obviously there seems to be a bit going on behind the scenes with Enzo Maresca and the owners. But, you know, Cole Palmer's back. And as Dan said, they've done pretty well in big games this season. I think they can take a point at St James's.
Okay, and just before we leave this game, I know Jamie Carragher has come out this week and said that he doesn't feel Enzo Maresca will be the Chelsea manager next season. How do you two guys see and assess his future? Dan, we'll start with your thoughts first. I mean, I have to say, I think overall he's done a really good job so far.
He has, but what he's done is it just increases the kind of pressure on yourself, and it kind of reduces the threshold in terms of defeats and poor form that you kind of have to hit before the owners, you know, might decide to make a change. That's what I would say. It's still going to be results dependent. They're not going to get rid of him, you know, if he, you know, leads them to silverware and a high finish in the Premier League. But that's what I would just say, is that you put that pressure on yourself and you question the owners, it's going to reduce that kind of sacking threshold.
James, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Dan's spot on there. You know, he's probably not in the strongest negotiating position, despite, you know, winning things last season. But yeah, I mean, he's not a kind of Mourinho or an Ancelotti or a real kind of top class manager yet. And I think it has put enormous pressure on him. So we'll see. It's hard enough picking predicting Chelsea's games. Predicting what their owners can do is beyond me, I'm afraid.
No, I don't think it's potentially possible at the moment. We'll move on to the third game on the list as Aston Villa clash with Manchester United. This is on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff between these two, with Villa around 11-10 to claim the victory. It's 23-10 Manchester United and the draw 13-5. I've yet to find anybody, Milts, who isn't an Aston Villa fan who believes that they are still in this title race. But, you know, they keep on grinding out results and they keep on hanging on to the coattails.
It is amazing. And, yeah, certainly anyone who kind of has even a cursory glance at expected goals figures is scratching their head over Villa. You know, their bubble has got to burst at some point. Won 3-2 at West Ham last weekend. Obviously came from behind twice. And I think their XG was around 0.6 there. So, you know, they're certainly the keyboard warriors are not enjoying Villa's progress. But having said that, I don't think their bubble's going to burst this weekend. I think this is a good opportunity for them. You know, United, every time they string 4 or 5 passes together, it seems to be that they've turned a corner and Amorim's system is working. But, you know, we saw the strengths and the weaknesses in that crazy game against Bournemouth. And yeah, I really like the look of Villa to win and both teams to score. I think it's going to be another entertaining game for Manchester United. But, you know, Villa have got the winning habit and United certainly don't.
In the past, Dan, Manchester United used to rack up win after win after win at Villa Park. But at the moment, going into this game, there's more questions than answers again with Ruben Amorim.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different Manchester United now and a different Aston Villa, isn't it? Even though Man United have had a bit of an improvement. I watched the game against Bournemouth. It was a brilliant game to watch. And I thought Man United going forward were as good as I've seen them for quite a long time, has to be said. But they, two of the key players in that kind of attacking four that did so well, Ahmed Diallo and Mbeumo, have gone to the AFCON. So as soon as they've kind of, it's clicked for them going forward, it's taken away again. So that's got to be hugely frustrating. And the flip side of that, they didn't look great defensively. I think the youngster Aidan Heaven struggling at the back. I think some of his one-on-one defending, his positional play is quite suspect. Martinez, when he came on, didn't look sharp. He didn't get close enough for the fourth goal. And Bournemouth looked, apart from the four goals, looked a threat. Lots of stages in the game, even though United were kind of on the front foot for the most part. So that's a bit of a concern for me, given that they're now losing two of those big attacking players. So it's a great time for Villa to play them. Villa, I'm going to say, I agree, they're not in the title race. You look at the goal differences for us. They're winning a lot of tight games. Villa's goal difference is +8. I think Arsenal and City are in the low 20s. So that's a, you know, you can't. It's not sustainable to keep winning games, you know, by the odd goal all the time. But at the moment, their squad's pretty healthy. I mean, 9 wins in a row, 8 home wins in a row, playing a United team with suspects at the back, and as I say, 2 key attacking players missing. I think the 11-10 is fine. Villa to win for me.
Well, Villa, seemingly, according to most people, not in the title race. One team that certainly are, though, are Manchester City, and they play host to West Ham on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And City, who were also victorious in the EFL Cup in midweek, can be back to around about 2-9 to claim the win here. West Ham as big as 10-1, and it's 13-2 the draw. City managed to rest Erling Haaland in midweek, Dan, and he'll be fresh for this game. And Phil Foden, obviously, back amongst the goals as well over the last few weeks. He's playing an important role at the moment.
Yeah, and this is the reason. For me, it's City or Arsenal. City can make a load of changes and still, you know, come through a tricky test and get through fairly comfortably. Arsenal had loads of injuries and they're still, you know, top of the league. So it's you know, just briefly on that, if Villa got those sort of injuries, would they cope? For me, no way. But City in this game, you know, they've had the, like I said, got through to the compete, going well in all competitions, right in the mix now. One that, you know, would have been seen as a tough game at Palace last week, when it, you know, with flying colours, winning 3-0. I think they should win this game as well. West Ham, what I would say, they're certainly showing more resilience, especially on the travels. You look at the good 1-1 draw they got at Manchester United that I watched, the 1-1 draw at Brighton that you could have argued they should have won it, a controversial decision to allow the Brighton equaliser. So they're going to be well set up defensively. Bit of a worry with the fullback positions. You've got 2 that have gone to the AFCON, Diouf and Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka's been playing very well. But I think they'll be, to pardon the pun, I don't think they'll get hammered, West Ham, but I think City will get a comfortable enough win. So I'm going to go City, an under 4.5 goal, shade of odds on.
Milt, what have you made of West Ham over the last few weeks? As Dan sort of said there, there is at least some signs of improvement. I think my concern would be their home form, but obviously going on a trip to the Etihad, it looks like it's, you know, probably a bit of a thankless task at the minute.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, the atmosphere at the London Stadium early in the season obviously was so toxic that it was difficult for them at home. But yeah, having said that, I'm not sure they're going to enjoy this weekend's trip particularly. West Ham have been starting games okay recently. Had that, you know, let slip a 2-0 lead at Bournemouth, drew that game, obviously led Villa twice last weekend. And as Dan said, we're unlucky to concede that late equaliser at Brighton. But I'm not sure it's going to be the same story at City. City have just been flying out of the traps recently. They've been leading at half-time in each of their last 9 wins in all competitions. You know, that includes away at Real Madrid. I think even the most optimistic West Ham supporter would admit are probably a little bit better than the Hammers at the moment. And yeah, I think City, nice cup tie in midweek, able to rest Haaland, Diaz, Donnarumma, a few others only came on as late subs. So I think they're going to be fresh and raring to go. And I'm keeping it simple, the City double result in this one.
Okay, we're going to head off to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium next for the next clash on the list, and that is a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday for Spurs against Liverpool. Tottenham 5-2 here to claim the win. It's evens Liverpool and the draw 11-4. Miltz, we'll talk a bit about Liverpool first. Some more positive signs over the last few weeks, and now 4 games unbeaten in the league heading into this one. Have they turned a corner, or are there still issues to deal with for Arne Slot?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, they've certainly steadied the ship. You know, 8 points from those 4 games, and obviously conceded a very late equaliser at Leeds, so that could have been even better. But you know, then you've had the kind of Salah issue overshadowing things. So it's difficult to know whether, you know, the blip was at the start of the season with all those incredible late wins, or was the blip when they were losing all these games, or now are they kind of showing what sort of form they're going to have for the rest of the season? It's hard to know. I think it's really interesting, this game. You know, when you're doing your research for this show, there's always kind of a couple of fixtures. Like, oh God, I've got no kind of gut feeling at all. But I'm edging towards Liverpool. I think, you know, tentatively, I think Salah going to the Africa Cup of Nations is probably a good thing. Makes Slot's life a little bit easier. You know, takes away some of the noise, and you know, gives these big money summer signings a chance to really kind of stake their claim. Obviously, Ekitike's been very, very good whenever he's played, but Wirtz and Isak certainly need to step up now. And yeah, Tottenham, you know, so poor at Forest last weekend. You know, you suspect that a slow start will see the crowd turn on Thomas Frank. And yeah, I think Liverpool at around evens, I'll be having a small bet on them.
I have to say, I don't know whether I'm old school or not, Dan, but I do feel that it's a bit harsh on Thomas Frank. When you consider where Spurs finished last season, yes, I know they won the Europa League, you know, but there have been some positive signs this season, I feel. And at the moment, I just feel like it seems to be the case of, you know, if they get a bad result, then it's the end of the world and he might lose his job. And it must be hard to work under that sort of pressure.
It is, but I don't see a lot of positives in the style of play, the football that they're playing. It's not as if there's a run of performances where you can say, oh, I can see where they're going here. Mm. At the moment, you don't feel that there's a great run around the corner. I just feel that last season, going back about a year ago, when Ange had just lost the two key defenders of Van de Ven and Romero, that was the big issue for him, and their form's gotten a nosedive then, and he concentrated on the Europa League. That's the other issue as well, that Spurs don't expect to be 17th, and they wouldn't have been probably anywhere near there if they hadn't been focusing on the Europa. So the bar is a little bit higher than you would imagine for Frank to achieve. Frank's issue has been more offensive way. He's been missing two real key creators in Maddison and Kulusevski. So that, he's had a tough trot with the injuries, two key injuries as well, amongst many other injuries that are, you know, probably less important. But to cut a long story short, for this game, I'm not convinced by either team. The evens about Liverpool doesn't really thrill me. The Brighton game, they got a perfect start, didn't they? Scored inside the first minute. Brighton still had quite a lot of chances. Liverpool gave up 14 shots. Brighton won, you know, narrowly won the XG. Gakpo's out as well as Salah going to the AFCON. So they've not got bundles of options offensively. So Wirtz and Isak still haven't really started doing it properly. And I just think there's enough there to be, you know, sceptical. And with Spurs, there's such a difference between the last two performances. Brentford at home was one of the best performances they've been this season, and they stunk the place out against Nottingham Forest. So you're kind of not sure what way they're going to go, you know, in this game. So because of all that, I'm just going to sit on the fence. I think neither team I'm convinced are going to go. The draw looks overpriced to me. Going to go with the draw.
Okay, well, five down, five to go in the Premier League, and it's to Elland Road next. Another 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday evening for Leeds against Crystal Palace. Leeds 8-5 here to claim the victory. Crystal Palace 7-4, and the draw 23-10. Watched a little bit of Leeds' game last time out, Dan, and it was one of those matches against Brentford where, actually, if you go back 6 to 8 weeks ago, they'd have probably gone and lost that 2-3-0, but even falling behind, you felt the belief was there for them to get back in it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's another good point for them, isn't it? You know, to go to Brentford with a strong home record, you know, beating some big teams there this season, to go there and get a point is not to be sneezed at. They're bobbing along at a point per game, which is fine for a newly promoted team. If you forget about how well Sunderland are doing and get a little bit of perspective, they're doing okay. And you look at the, you know, the recent form against, certainly the, you know, against some big teams, the City away, they lost 3-2, but were very good second half. 4 points from Chelsea and Liverpool. Watched both of those games. They were superb against Chelsea, fought back great against Liverpool. They've only lost two games at home. Still think their home form is going to be massive influence in whether they stay up or not. I would kind of fancy them to stay up. And this is a game, I think they've got a good chance of winning it. You've got Ismail Assar's gone to the AFCON. He's a big player for Crystal Palace. Palace have got game they should win in the Conference League against the Finnish side, KUPS. But it's a game they have to take seriously as well. They're just outside the top eight at the moment. So they need to win it to avoid having another couple of games, you know, on the schedule, which with a small squad, they could do without. So you can imagine they're going to go pretty strong, I would imagine. I would think for that game. And to then have to go to Leeds, as I said, are really getting it together and strong at home. I think Leeds got a good chance. I'd back them just to win the game.
I mean, this should really be a time of celebration for Palace, Mills, you feel. I mean, they won the FA Cup, they've won the Community Shield, they're in Europe, you know, playing some of the best football I'm sure that the fans have probably seen for decades. But there seems to be a bit of a cloud hanging over at the moment, mainly because of Oliver Glasner's uncertain future. You've got the likes of Mark Gahey maybe potentially going on in January. I suppose it's a difficult task for everybody at the club at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways, it is the price you pay for success, isn't it? Glasner's done a sensational job there. And obviously, a lot of the players are going to be kind of catching the eye of richer clubs. So it is difficult. I mean, you know, they've obviously not been helped by this schedule they've got coming up. So they've got three. We're speaking Thursday morning. They've got three games in 6 days. And this turnaround for this game at Leeds, they're going to have 46 hours from the final whistle in the Conference League to kick off at Elland Road, which is absolutely brutal. Even when you think about the absence of Sarr as well for AFCON. You know, I really, really love what Glasner's done at Palace, but I think this weekend they just have to be opposed. And as Dan's mentioned, you know, Leeds shown some promising signs recently. You know, their home form is so important. Picked up 12 of their 16 points at home. Obviously scored plenty of goals against Chelsea and Liverpool in those last two games. And then a couple of decent efforts on the road at City and Brentford. So I think this is a real opportunity for Leeds to bank 3 points. I don't oppose Palace lightly, but I just think, you know, the way these fixtures are shaping up, it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, I have to say, I had to rub my eyes in disbelief when I saw they were playing on Saturday evening off the back of Thursday night. We're going to move to Monday evening now because it's another 8 o'clock kickoff, and this time it's at Craven Cottage for Fulham against Nottingham Forest. Fulham 7-5 to claim the win here. It's 2-1 Forest, and the draw is 9-4. Forest are a funny old team at the moment. I saw them get absolutely turned over by Everton a couple of weeks ago, Milts, and then they'll respond in good fashion. And you just feel that Sean Dyche will just get those key results when they need them to probably move them away from the bottom three.
I think so. Yeah, I think they are, you know, at the risk of using the cliche, far too good to go down. You know, they just had that ridiculous start to the season, didn't they? And you know, you're also looking at the kind of European commitments, which is tough. So I think they'll really benefit from a nice break, actually. And I'm sweet on Forest at the prices for this one. You know, they've lost Ibrahim Sangare to AFCON, but Fulham have lost three first team regulars. You know, Iwobi, Calvin Bassey at the back, and Samuel Chukwueze, who's been really impressive recently. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of Fulham at the best of times. You take those three players out, you know, they're significantly weaker in attack and defence. And I think Forest can certainly build on that fine win against Tottenham. You know, obviously won 3-0 at Anfield not too long ago as well. And you know, most of Fulham's wins I think 5 out of 6 came against Wolves, obviously tailed off at the bottom. Brentford are really poor travellers, and then the three promoted teams. And I think Forest are a fair bit better than most of those sides on their day. And I'd be backing them to win at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, normally with the Europa League teams, Dan, we talk about that quick turnaround. But this week, Forest haven't had a game. Fulham have had that EFL Cup trip to Newcastle and ended up losing late on. And then they're having to go into this game. Is that going to work against them here?
I think so, yeah. And I think they put a lot into that game, physically and mentally, the Newcastle game. There was a, you know, started quite well, fell behind, came back into it, and then were kind of pushed back second half, and then to concede, you know, so late on. That was you could tell just looking at Silva's face there that they it was a big blow to them. They kind of treat this competition quite seriously. Got to the semis a couple of years ago, and to then go, you know, have a league game off, you know, soon off the back of it. And I totally agree with James about the AFCON players. They've lost their big players. Bassey got that good defender, got the goal for a key goal from, didn't he, in the win at Burnley. When they weren't that great as well, gave up quite a lot of shots in that game against Burnley. Iwobi's a key player, and Chukwueze, as he's mentioned, has just started to do well and has become a regular starter. Forrester, I mean, we talk about them being up and down, but actually, they've in all competitions they've won 6 of their last 8 games. When you look at where they were, couldn't win a game, you know, for a period at the start of the season. That is a hell of a turnaround, really. And as bad as Spurs were, they were superb in that match. And a nice 3 week to prepare for the game. I think they're the likely winners. Odds against on the draw, no bet. That's the way I'm going to play it.
Okay, well, we're going to head to Saturday at 3 o'clock now. Brighton Sunderland is next on the list at the Amex Stadium. Brighton 13-20. It's 17-4 Sunderland and 3-1 the draw. I suppose there's always the possibility, Dan, of being after the Lord Mayor's show a little bit for Sunderland off the back of that victory over Newcastle. But the bigger concern probably for the Black Cats, and this is why it was important they got a such a good start to the season, is AFCON, basically.
Yeah, they've got six players to the AFCON. Four of them started in that win against Newcastle. But so there's going to be at least four enforced changes. What I would also mention, though, but maybe a lot of people are not picking up on this so much, is that Brighton have lost Belaba, only one player, but they've also got a couple of bans, Gomez and Lewis Dunk. So they've got to make three enforced changes as well. So there's been quite a market move towards Brighton. And yeah, they're making three enforced changes. Sunderland are making four. So I suppose you're looking at who's got the strongest squad. I actually think Sunderland have recruited really well, not just in terms of first 11. I think they've got quite a decent bit of depth there. So I would challenge that Brighton, you know, quite a bit odds on for this. I'm not so sure about that price. I think Sunderland's manager as well, he really impresses me tactically. Going back to the Championship last year, I think you deal him a tougher set of cards and he can still often come up with get his team to put in a competitive performance. I often like Brighton when they've got the ability to take on the top teams, and I think they're often overpriced against the top teams. I think when they're going off odds on against a team like Sunderland, it showed how strong that they are, mentally strong as well. No, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't go as far as to say Sunderland to win, so I'm going to go with a draw. I think the draw's a bit overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, I know it wasn't the best of games and it was never going to be in the derby clash last week, Milts, but just so impressed, like Dan said there, with the way that Sunderland, they seem to just be able to either sort of, not necessarily say change style, but just change what's needed in terms of the game itself as well. And they're going to have to, you know, do that again at the weekend against the Brighton team who, you know, are going to be a tough nut to crack at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you'd say with Sunderland, you know, they have lost six players to AFCON, which is twice as many as any other Premier League club. But, you know, it's not going to have come as a surprise. The recruitment over the summer was excellent. And they've obviously will have plans in place for these next kind of 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah, you know, so competitive, you know, mainly at home. I thought they were terrific when they played Arsenal. The 2-2 draw there, and you know they've won at Chelsea. I think they're certainly not going to panic just because they've lost these players to AFCON. There's one angle I like in this game is the second half to have more goals, kind of a shade of odds against. Now, both of these teams have been really slow starting in their matches this season. Sunderland scored 14 of their 19 goals after half time, 18 out of 25 in the second half for Brighton. So I think it could be a slow burner in this one. But yeah, plenty of excitement after the break.
Two more games left to go. And the first of those at the Vitality Stadium. Another 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday as Bournemouth play host to Burnley. Bournemouth here are 9-20. And Burnley as big as 6-1 to claim the win. It's 7-2 the draw. It's funny enough, before that game with Manchester United on Monday, Mills, I was looking at the league table and I was thinking, I know Bournemouth have not been on a great run. Couldn't believe how far they were down the table. But off the back of that performance at Old Trafford, there shouldn't probably be any concerns about slipping into a relegation battle.
You'd think so. I mean, this is another game that I'm struggling with a little bit just because, you know, Bournemouth are clearly overwhelming favourites and, you know, Burnley have lost their last seven and I think Burnley on the underlying stats could even be worse off than they are. You know, I think they've got 10 points, but they have struggled. But I just think Bournemouth, maybe like Dan was saying about Brighton, you know, they're not a side that you want to be backing at these cramped odds against teams who will try and frustrate them. I'm going for under 2.5 goals here, which is obviously a big leap of faith after they drew 4-4 at Old Trafford. There's been a massive disparity between the amount of goals in their home games and their away games. You know, away from home, been absolutely bundles of goals. At home, you know, the last two, lost 1-0 to Everton, drew 0-0 with Chelsea. And that's been the story of their season, really, on their own patch. You know, even earlier in the season, they played 10-man Wolves and only won 1-0. And I think Burnley, you know, they've got to just try and stop the rot, whatever it takes. They've shown a bit of attacking enterprise away from home this season, but I think they just need to focus on on stopping that losing run. And I think they can frustrate Bournemouth to an extent.
This week's producer, Sam, Dan, is a big Burnley fan. I think it's been a frustrating few weeks. Can you give him any hope at the moment or not really?
I'm going for Burnley. I think every team's got the price. I think 6-1 is too big. I don't think they'll. I know they're on a terrible run at the moment, but I don't think they'll be giving up. They've been quite competitive in a lot of those games. I mean, you think back to the 2-1 at Newcastle, where they were down to 10 men for long periods, kept battling away and made it tight towards the end. Created quite a few chances in that loss to Fulham. They were missing two first choice fullbacks for that game as well, Lucas Perez and Kyle Walker, who are both back. I was impressed with Gachukwu. I think with Burnley, you're often thinking, have they got the quality going forward, a difference maker? I thought his finish, that's going to really kick him on. I think he's got the quality to be a match winner for them. And it's a great time to play Bournemouth. Bournemouth, while they were very good going forward against that, you know, suspect Man United defence, they were really pulled apart defensively. I understand Burnley and got nothing like the weapons that United had that night, but I mean, Burnley have lost 7 on the trot. Bournemouth are no winning 7, so it's not as if Bournemouth have been fantastic. And I agree with James that it will be a closer game than the market suggests. And in that case, 6-1 for me. Burnley need to win games. I don't think they can just rely on picking points up. 6-1, I think, is big enough.
Big price for Burnley at Bournemouth on Saturday. And we're going to conclude with another game at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And it's at Molineux, where bottom club Wolves face Brentford. In terms of the prices, Wolves are 5-2, Brentford 21-20, and the draw is 13-5. Again, all attention switched to this potential derby points record, Dan, for Wolves at the moment. I feel so much sympathy for them after what happened at Arsenal last week. Do we feel they're getting closer to that first win?
They might have been if the issue for them is they were better defensively in that game, and two of the back three now, Agbadou and Mosquera, are now going to be out. So you defend really well in a tough game, get some confidence going. Even though they've lost the game, it's going to be a confidence booster performance. Then you lose two of your back three, and that is just a. But if that wasn't the case, I would have been with them this weekend. This is a bit like the Spurs-Liverpool game, a game that I was struggling to kind of settle on. I mean, Brentford's away form is absolutely dreadful. I mean, do you really want to be backing them at round evens? They've lost Ouattara as well. He's one of their main kind of attacking threats down the flanks as well. So I'm not very sold on backing them. But Wolves, you know, 2 points, and the fact that you've lost two of your back three when you've suddenly put in a performance, That stops me from backing them. So we're sitting on the fence, going to go with a draw.
Can you offer Wolves any hope, Milts?
Qualified hope, I think. I think Dan makes a great point about their defence. I just think I'm kind of pro Wolves anti Brentford rather than pro Wolves particularly. But yeah, I think Wolves will draw double chance at home. You know, around 4-5. You know, Brentford have been terrible away from home. You know, I think they've lost 4 of their last 5 away from home to nil in all competitions. They're playing against some tough sides, but you know, Dan mentioned earlier in the show they were outclassed by Tottenham, which is not something that's happened very often at the Tottenham this season. I think Wolves can take real heart from that effort at Arsenal. I think, you know, maybe the main thing about that performance and the result will be that it kind of buys them some time, some credit with the home fans. So hopefully, you know, they'll obviously see this as an opportunity to get that win against a Brentford side who really struggle away from home. So I think they can at least avoid defeat, yeah.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League covered for another weekend. Up next, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL. Well, it's FPL time again now, and it's Jamie Philby who joins us to give us his suggestions of who to select for your Fantasy League team in Game Week 17.
It's almost time for Game Week 17, and as always, we've got 3 players that you should consider bringing into your FPL team. names. First up, in defence, we've gone with Manchester City's Josko Vardio. Priced at 5.9 million, the Croatian has bagged 20 points in the last two game weeks and comes with a big goal threat from corners. City host West Ham this weekend at the Etihad, and he's already been transferred in by 77,000 managers. Moving on to the midfield, the standout pick this week is Fulham's Harry Wilson. The Welshman is the most informed player in the Premier League, and priced at just 5.6 million, he's a tempting purchase. Wilson has notched 40 points in the last four game weeks, and he's been bought in by over 850,000 managers this week already. Finally, our striker selection is none other than Hugo Ekitike of Liverpool. He's been the Reds' shining light this season, and he scored four goals in his last two matches, amassing 26 points. He's currently valued at 8.6 million, but this is a bargain when you consider he's Liverpool's main goal threat this season. The Frenchman has settled into life at Anfield superbly well. He scored seven goals and recorded one assist already. The Reds travel to Spurs this weekend, who have picked up just 8 points at home this campaign. And Spurs boss Thomas Frank is already facing questions about his future. So Ekitike can lead the Liverpool front line and inflict more pain on Thomas Frank's side.
Well, big thanks to Jamie for his FPL update. We're going to head now to the EFL. And before we get Dan's best bets across the three divisions, we're going to look at the biggest talking point of the week. Bristol Rovers have changed their manager with the sacking of Darryl Clarke, and they've appointed, I suppose it's fair to say, maybe the controversial Steve Evans to replace him. They've fallen into the bottom two in League Two after six straight defeats. I mean, before we talk about Steve Evans getting the job here, Dan, a size of a club of Bristol Rovers in League Two, being in the bottom two, it's a terrible state of affairs, really.
Yes, and I don't want to stick the boot in, but I think if it wasn't for Darryl Clarke's previous relationship and what he'd done, the credit he had in the bank with Bristol Rovers, I don't think he'd have lasted so long. I mean, he's lost 10 games in a row, and this is not a team with a small budget in League Two. They would have gone into the season with aspirations of going straight back up. So, I mean, Darryl Clarke, he's got two promotions on his CV with Bristol Rovers, a promotion on his CV with Port Vale. So he's got very good record as a manager, but it's just, for whatever reason, has not gone right for him. I mean, maybe the gap between League One and League Two, there isn't much of a gap. You've seen Wimbledon come up through the playoffs and do well in League One. Bradford are flying, aren't they, after going up? And teams that have gone down with Bristol Rovers, Crawley, Shrewsbury are struggling. Cambridge are doing better, but they've invested and had a really good transfer window. So, maybe that's, coming into play there. But I think for Steve Evans, as I mentioned, they're a club with a decent budget for the level. There should never be really, getting involved in a relegation fight. So it's a good job for him to get. And he's probably a good manager to get in. He's got a great record, in the lower leagues. The last job he did at Rotherham wasn't great, but he did really well there previously. Stevenage, he built into a really strong position. Alex Revell has then taken them on. He's done various other, good jobs over his long managerial career. And, I think he'll certainly get them moving up the table.
Yeah, bit of experience where a few other teams have gone for maybe newer faces. Certainly, there's not much that you can teach Steve Evans about League One and League Two, having managed there, of course, over the years. Let's have a look at Dan's best bets then across the EFL this weekend. We're going to start off with the Championship, Dan, and who's your pick here?
I'm going to go with Southampton at home to Coventry. A couple of weeks ago, I had a fancy in what I would say a similar fixture when, recently relegated club Ipswich played at home to Coventry and really brought their A game to it, won the game 3-0. I think this is sometimes teams that have been relegated, you go into the Championship, the atmosphere can not be so great for a lot of the fixtures, but when you're playing top of the league, it kind of ratchets up, quite a bit, and the Ipswich fans are up for it there. Southampton's, I think, are going to be really, up for this game. And the team has been doing great generally under Tondereka. I watched the game at Norwich last week and they were beaten and they were out fought, to be honest. Norwich just wanted it more. But Southampton at home have had four wins in a row. Had beaten some big clubs there. Leicester 3-0, Birmingham 3-1, West Brom 3-2. It's a tough place for Coventry to go. And Coventry's performances are dipping a little bit. Apart from that loss at Ipswich, they had a 1-1 draw at Preston when they were playing against 10 men for long periods. Got a 1-0 win at home to Bristol City, who had a goal harshly disallowed. So there's a bit of a dip happening there. I think Southampton will take advantage of it.
Okay, so Southampton is the championship selection for Dan this week. What about League One? Where are we looking here, Dan?
I'm going to go Barnsley to win away to Exeter. I think Barnsley are eighth place, but in a bit of a false position. Only played 17 games, got sort of 2 to 3 games in hand on most of their promotion rivals. So if they do all right in those games in hand, they'll probably be inside the playoffs. And they score a lot of goals, got 30 goals in those 17 games. You've got the likes of Davis Keeler Dunn, often scores a lot of goals. And Reyes Cleary started to play very well for them recently. So they're carrying a threat. And against an Exeter team, they're having a bit of a struggle this season. Lost 11 of their 19 league games. Got a few injuries at the back. Ed Turns and John Lee Wifeko. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that exactly right, but that's two of their centre-backs look like they're going to be missing. So Barnsley odds against look a bet to me.
OK, and last but not least, we're going to head into League Two. And who's your selection here, Dan?
I'm going to go with Salford or draw double chance away to Barnet. Barnet are the kind of markets, darling. The markets absolutely love Barnet in League Two. You take a look at the XG figures and you probably can see why. Their XG goals is 36.07. They've only scored 27. But once you get a long way into the season, maybe it's a case that their strikers are just not that clinical. I mean, they went off favourites away to Chesterfield last weekend, which is a tough game. And they lost 3-1 and we're kind of well beaten, really, looking at the reports from the game. So I think there's a danger that they're getting a bit overrated on some of this XG data. And Salford, I think that they've got a much bigger budget than Barnsley. You know, probably got more clinical finishes at the top end. Came from 3-1 behind in a tough game at home to Colchester last weekend and won 4-3, showing the firepower that they've got. They're up into the playoffs now. Barnet are 13th. I mean, Barnet are around evens for this game. I think just Salford or draw double chance is just way too big.
OK, so just a reminder of Dan's best bets across the EFL this weekend. Southampton in the Championship, Barnsley in League One and Salford double chance in League Two. It's James's chance now to have his say and he's got a Premier League bet builder to look forward to and it is in the clash between Everton and Arsenal, James.
Yeah, going to the Hill Dickinson Stadium, Arsenal's first visit there. My first leg is both teams to score. You know, Arsenal not grinding out those victories to nil like they were earlier in the season. Defensive injuries in recent weeks. Both teams have scored in five of their last six league games, obviously including that dramatic 2-1 win against bottom club Wolves last weekend. And kind of on the similar theme, I'm going for Everton or draw double chance as the second leg. Arsenal had some really tough trips to Goodison in recent years. Only won one of their last seven away at Everton in the league. Everton have got some significant absentees, but I do think they're going to be competitive against Arsenal. Thumped Nottingham Forest 3-0 in their last home fixture. I think they can avoid defeat against the leaders, who may, of course, be knocked off the top of the table by the time this game starts. So real pressure on Arsenal. And the final leg of the bet builder is Michael Keane to have one or more shots. And we know all about Arsenal's attacking threat from set pieces. And been a little bit shaky defending dead ball situations recently. You know, I think Keane's a key aerial target for Everton. Scored in their home games against West Ham and Fulham this season. And he's had at least one effort on goal in five of his last six starts.
Yes, indeed. And he won't have just a gay forcing to potentially push a hand into his face at some stage now that he's gone to AFCON. But just a reminder of the bet builder from James then. Both teams to score, Everton double chance and Michael Keane 1+ shots. We're going to move on to the assist treble now, a selection from all three of us. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Barnsley to win away to Exeter. Just to mention the threat they've got going forwards. They're in decent form. Won 3-2 at home to Leighton Orient in an entertaining game last weekend. I just think that they'll be too strong for Exeter. They've not had a league win. One league win since October, and that was a 1-0 at home to Wimbledon, who were absolutely injury ravaged they were for that game. So, Barnsley to beat Exeter.
OK, so Dan's going into League One. I think you've got a League Two selection, Milts, for yours.
Yeah, I have, Warren. Yeah, I'm going for Swindon to beat Crawley. As high-flying Swindon have been ruthless against the weaker teams this season. They've beaten four of the bottom five already and they can complete the set against Crawley. As Swindon are missing top scorer Aaron Drinan, who's suspended, but they cruised to a 3-0 win at Bristol Rovers last weekend. It scored three times in the first 33 minutes. And Crawley have been really poor away from home this season. One win in 10 games, and that was at a fellow strugglers Harrogate. So I think they could be outclassed at Swindon.
Okay, and I'm going to go into the Championship for my selection because I'm going to quite fancy Sheffield United to beat Birmingham at around about 5-4. The Blades lost last week at West Brom. Chris Wilder was absolutely fuming with that display and will demand a response, I'm sure, from his team, who had been on a 6-game unbeaten run before that, and they've lost just once at Bramall Lane since September. As for Birmingham, well, they've collected just 1 point from the last three league games, and they've won just twice on the road so far this season. And I think Sheffield United on home soil might prove just too strong. So Sheffield United, Swindon and Barnsley are the assist treble selections this week. And we'll conclude this week's show with the nap of the week from both James and Dan. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Leeds to beat Palace. I just think home form is going to be key for them. Played superb against Chelsea, very well against Liverpool, playing Palace at a great time with Sarr gone to the AFCON, and they got the Europa game to negotiate Thursday, and the cup tie, the big cup tie next week as well. So great time to play them. Leeds to win.
Okay, it's Leeds for Dan. What about you, Milts? What are you looking for? Your nap?
Yeah, I've got an anytime goal scorer for you this week. Peterborough's Harry Leonard to score against Port Vale. Peterborough's form has really picked up in the survival scrap. Away at bottom club Vale, they're going to be targeting another 3 points. And just looking at Leonard's shooting stats this season, a couple of games early on in the season where he had 8 shots without scoring. But he's certainly found his range recently. 6 goals in his last 6 appearances. And I think he's got a great chance to continue that hot streak at Vale Park.
Okay, well, a big thanks to both James and Dan for their input on this week's assist. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The assist will actually be back on Monday to look forward to the games on Boxing Day and December the 27th. So enjoy your football in the meantime this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.